Picture this. It's a Tuesday morning. You need to get from Boston to somewhere like Providence, or from Seattle down to Portland. 150 miles. Drive it, and you're looking at 2.5 hours in traffic, assuming nothing breaks wrong. Take the regional prop, and by the time you fight the terminal, run the security line, wait at the gate, and claim your bag at the other end. You've spent close to 3 hours, and the ticket costs more per mile than a business class upgrade. Now imagine that same route, flown on an aircraft that costs roughly the same per mile to operate as an electric car costs per mile to drive. No fuel burn, no turbine oil consumption, quiet enough that the airport neighbors do not file noise complaints. That is the pitch behind Eviation Aircraft and their Alice Commuter. I'm Vector on Clear Direct from Radio Hangar. Today we are going to look at what Alice actually is, what she has proven in the air so far, what the physics say is truly possible, and what honest expectations look like from where we sit right now. This segment is supported by AviationSold.com. They make Aviation Challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument-rated CFI. The whole journey beautifully made and built to last. AviationSold.com. Let's break this down, starting with the aircraft itself. Eviation Aircraft is an Israeli-founded company, now headquartered in Arlington, Washington. They have been working on Alice since around 2015, and the design has gone through significant changes since those early concepts. What you see in the current configuration is a 9-passenger all-electric commuter targeting the same market segment as aircraft like the Cessna Caravan or the Pilatus PC-12, short-haul regional hops. The routes that connect secondary cities to larger hubs or move time-sensitive cargo on the final leg of an express freight network. Alice is a high-wing aircraft with a distinctive silhouette. Two motors sit at the wingtips, and that configuration is not just aesthetic. Wingtip-mounted motors reduce the energy lost to wingtip vortices. Those swirling masses of air at the ends of a wing are where induced drag lives. Every pound of thrust produced by a wingtip motor is doing double duty, pushing the airplane forward while simultaneously reducing one of the primary drag sources in flight. On a battery-powered airplane, where every watt-hour is precious, that efficiency gain is not a styling choice. It is an engineering decision with real numbers behind it. The two motors are Magni 650 units built by Magnix, a company based in Everett, Washington. Each one produces 650 kilowatts of continuous power. To give you a reference point, a Continental IO550 in a big piston single makes about 300 horsepower, which is roughly 220 kilowatts. Each Alice motor produces nearly 3 times the output of that big piston engine, and does it in a package that would surprise you with how compact it is. Electric motors are exceptional at high torque, high power density output. The internal combustion engine, for all its virtues, has never been the most power-dense machine we can build. It is just the most energy-dense fuel we could conveniently carry for a very long time. Which brings me to the number that defines the whole conversation about electric regional aviation. Alice carries an 820 kilowatt-hour battery pack. That is an enormous battery. A Tesla Model S long range carries roughly 100 kilowatt-hours. Alice carries more than 8 times that, and those batteries are heavy. The full aircraft at maximum takeoff weight comes in around 15,000 pounds. The battery pack alone accounts for close to 8,000 pounds of that figure. Now, here's where the physics gets serious, and I want to spend real time here because this is the fulcrum the whole industry balances on. Jet fuel weighs about 6.7 pounds per gallon, but it contains roughly 12,000 watt-hours of energy per kilogram. The best lithium-ion battery cells available today store somewhere between 250 and 300 watt-hours per kilogram. So, per unit of weight, aviation-grade fuel contains about 40 times more energy than the batteries we can currently build. 40 to 1. That gap is why you cannot take a regional jet, strip out the fuel tanks, install batteries, and call it electric. The physics simply do not work at that scale. A battery pack large enough to fly a 50-seat aircraft for 500 miles would weigh more than the aircraft itself. But here's the key insight that makes the Alice program worth taking seriously. The short-haul regional mission is actually the specific use case where battery electric starts to pencil out economically, even with that energy density gap. A Cessna Caravan on a 150-mile sector burns somewhere around 70 gallons of jet fuel at current prices, that is $500 or more in fuel per flight. An Alice covering the same route would consume roughly 200 to 250 kilowatt-hours. At commercial electricity rates, that is $20 to $30 in energy. That is not a rounding error. That is a structural cost difference. The catch is the upfront capital cost and the battery replacement cycle. Lithium cells degrade with use. Aviation-grade battery packs have a cycle life that means you're probably replacing the pack every 3 to 5 years of active airline operations. That is a significant maintenance liability that does not appear in the simple fuel cost comparison. Honest accounting for electric aviation has to include battery amortization the same way turbine accounting includes engine overhaul reserves. The operating cost story is genuinely compelling once you model it correctly. It is not as simple as fuel cost versus electricity cost, but the overall economics still favor electric on the right routes. Let me tell you what Alice has actually proven in the real world, because there is real flight test data here on September 27, 2022, at Grant County International Airport in Moses Lake, Washington. The Alice made her first flight 8 minutes, the crew kept it in the pattern, flew a deliberate and controlled profile, and landed without incident. First flight of a certified category all-electric commuter aircraft is not a minor event. That happened. It is not vaporware. What that flight did not demonstrate was 250 miles with 9 revenue passengers, but that is not what first flights are for. First flights prove the aircraft is controllable and that the primary systems work as designed. Envelope expansion comes after. Since that September flight, Eviation has been accumulating test hours and working through the systematic progression that leads toward type certification. The pace is measured, which is exactly appropriate for aircraft certification. You do not rush this process. Every hour in the air teaches you something, and the things you learn about battery behavior, thermal management, and system interactions in flight are things you cannot learn in the lab. The target certification falls under Federal Aviation Administration Part 23 in the commuter category, which covers aircraft up to 19,000 pounds maximum takeoff weight. This is not an experimental or light sport pathway. Eviation is pursuing a full type certificate through the FAA's established process, which is the only certification that allows commercial passenger operations at scale in the United States. That process is genuinely hard. And part of what makes it hard for Alice and every other electric aircraft in the certification pipeline is that the rules were written for combustion engines and hydraulic systems. The FAA has been developing appropriate standards for electric propulsion, high-voltage battery systems, and the failure modes unique to lithium-based energy storage. The agency has been thoughtful and deliberate about this work. Deliberate also means it takes time. Plan for the certification timeline to extend further than early press releases suggested. Now let's talk about who is committed to this aircraft. Cape Air, the regional carrier headquartered in Hyannis, Massachusetts, placed an order for 75 Alice aircraft. Cape Air operates short-haul routes throughout New England, the Caribbean, and parts of the Midwest. Their typical mission is island hopping, point-to-point connections between smaller communities and regional hubs, Nantucket to the Cape, the islands of the Caribbean to larger airports with international service. If any operator's route network is shaped for electric commuter operations, it is Cape Air's. DHL placed an order for 12 aircraft configured for cargo operations. That order deserves its own moment of attention. Cargo is actually where the near-term business case for electric commuters is most convincing. A cargo operator runs predictable routes on fixed schedules with predictable payload. There are no passengers with changing travel plans. The aircraft charges overnight between operations. The noise advantages over residential areas make early morning freight operations more politically viable. DHL flying Alice cargo between regional distribution hubs is a use case I would watch closely. But here's what you need to sit with. Cape Air placed that order in 2019. As of the time I'm recording this, Alice has not carried a single revenue passenger under FAA type certificate. That does not mean the program has failed. It means the gap between a committed order and revenue service in a new aircraft category is measured in years, not quarters. What are the real obstacles still standing between Alice and your regional terminal? The first is the range and payload trade-off in actual operations. Eviation's stated performance target is 250 miles with 9 passengers. That is the design goal. In practice, like any aircraft, you trade payload for range. If you load the cabin to maximum capacity on a hot summer day at an airport with some elevation, your usable range comes down. Operators need to understand that the comfortable operational range with realistic payload is probably closer to 150 to 170 miles before margins get thin. for island hopping in New England or the Caribbean, that works. For connecting any two cities that are more than 200 miles apart, you are in constrained territory. The second challenge is charging infrastructure, and this one does not get enough discussion in the coverage I read. To turn Alice around quickly between flights, you need a serious DC fast charging installation at every destination. We are talking about infrastructure capable of delivering hundreds of kilowatts of power safely and reliably, day after day, in the operating environment of a regional airport. And the airports most likely to benefit from electric commuter service, the smaller communities and underserved markets, are often the least prepared to support that kind of electrical infrastructure. Grid upgrades, utility coordination, permitting, construction costs, none of that is aviation's problem to solve alone, but it is aviation's collective problem to solve before electric regional service becomes routine. Watch the charging infrastructure story as carefully as the airframe story. The third challenge is the pace of battery energy density improvement. Remember that 40-to-1 gap I mentioned? That number is not fixed. Battery technology is advancing, and the research pipeline has some genuinely encouraging work in it. Solid-state battery architectures, which replace the liquid electrolyte in current cells with a solid material, have the potential to reach 400 to 500 watt-hours per kilogram within this decade, according to some credible research programs. If solid-state cells reach aviation certification at those energy densities, the useful range of an aircraft like Alice roughly doubles. The 40-seat regional electric aircraft stops being a distant possibility and becomes an engineering project. If that chemistry progress stalls, the mission profile stays constrained. The honest answer is that nobody knows exactly when solid-state cells will be available in aviation-grade packaging at scale. Betting on a specific date is a mistake, but betting that battery technology will not improve at all is an equally wrong bet based on the data from the past decade. I want to be clear with you about what I think is real and what is still in the hopeful category. What is real? Electric propulsion in aviation works. The motors are reliable and well-proven. The energy management systems are manageable. Alice flew on schedule and the flight went as planned. Magnix has also powered test flights of other electric conversions, including a modified de Havilland Beaver, which flew in Canada with a Magnix motor. Electric motors in aviation are not theoretical. What is still aspirational? The transformation of the regional route network, the 150-city pairs. The dramatic operating cost revolution that restructures the economics of short-haul air service. That is a decade-long story at minimum, dependent on certification timelines, infrastructure investment, and battery chemistry progress. What is genuinely promising in the near term? Electric cargo, short-haul overnight freight on fixed routes operated by carriers like DHL, charging during off-peak hours flying before dawn. That use case is the most mature application of the technology, and I would not be surprised to see Alice flying cargo commercially before it ever boards a revenue passenger. Aviation is not working in isolation. Heart Aerospace in Sweden is developing the ES-30, a 30-seat hybrid electric regional aircraft backed by major airline investors who clearly believe this segment of the market is worth a serious bet. They made the pragmatic decision to go hybrid rather than pure electric, using a combination of batteries and conventional engines to extend range while still capturing significant operating cost savings on shorter sectors. Surf Air Mobility is pursuing a hybrid electric conversion of the Cessna Grand Caravan. The industry is approaching the same destination from multiple directions with different technology bets. None of these companies are going to put a fully electric 100-seat jetliner in service in the next decade. No credible voice in the industry is claiming otherwise. But the sub-40-seat commuter category, on routes under 200 miles flown multiple times daily, that market is being actively contested right now, and Aviation Alice is one of the most advanced certified category contenders in that race. So what does this mean if you're a working pilot or thinking about where the industry is going? If you fly regionally or you're building a career and thinking about where the hiring market moves, watch the certification milestones. When Alice earns its type certificate, and I believe it will, that is when the practical questions arrive. Carriers will need pilots trained on electric propulsion systems and high-voltage safety procedures. The training syllabus for an electric commuter is going to look different from what you learned on turboprop systems. High-voltage components require different emergency procedures, different maintenance disciplines, different ground handling protocols. If you're a CFI or operate a flight school, the Pipistrel Velis Electro already holds type certification from the European Union Aviation Safety Agency with FAA acceptance efforts ongoing. Electric trainers are not a future prospect. They are flying now at schools in Europe on real training syllabi with real student pilots. The economics for a two-seat electric trainer are more favorable than for a nine-seat commuter. Shorter flights, more cycles, predictable routes, and the battery replacement math works better at that scale. The electric trainer is where pilots in this generation are going to have their first encounter with the technology, and that familiarity will matter when the commuter category matures. The broader lesson here is one I keep coming back to with every new technology program I look at in aviation. Progress is real. It is also slower than the press cycle suggests. The milestone that matters is not the first flight announcement. It is the first revenue departure. Those are separated by years of unglamorous certification work, and that work is happening right now in Moses Lake and Arlington, Washington, with test pilots accumulating hours and engineers solving problems one system at a time. The data tells an interesting story here. And the most honest read of that data is that electric regional aviation has crossed from concept to proof and is now in the long, difficult, necessary middle passage between proof and service. That middle passage is where most ambitious programs succeed or fail. Aviation is still in it. Reporting from Aviation Week Network and Simple Flying contributed to my research here, along with Aviation's own published technical documentation and the FAA's public docket on Part 23 electric propulsion standards. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. See you next time.